refuel. And apparently her last radio transmissions with the Coast Guard cutter Itasca were, "I can't see you," she said, "I'm running low on fuel, only 1.5 hour remaining." What happened? Some people theorize that she was later captured by the Japanese. She was off course, that maybe she had died on the Marianas Island of Saipan during the war. I mean, there's all kinds of wild stories. Elgin Long from San Mateo, former airline pilot, thinks that the secret is on the bottom of the ocean floor off Howland Island. He just returned from a trip out there, and we'll be talking with him about some of the data that they collected on their trip to look for Amelia Earhart's plane. He says it may even be intact in the bottom of the ocean.
Before I award this bonus check, let me tell you a little bit about our salesperson of the year. This guy's been bringing in business from all over the state.
When you need to cover California, U.S. Air's got you covered. With more jet flights.
Conclusive proof that only Hershey's Bar None can tame the chocolate beastie.
All right, after running around here, a little technical problem, Elgin, we got you on the radio. How about that?
Thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners this afternoon.
Elgin Long began studying Amelia Earhart's tragedy, I suppose. It's one of the biggest mysteries in the world after you retired, and So I think most of us relax and want to go somewhere and cool off after a heavy career, and all of a sudden there you are tackling one of the biggest mysteries in the whole world.
Well, actually, Bob, Marie and I started many years ago examining it before I retired. And while it may seem like a lot of work, it's really been a lot of fun. We've met a lot of interesting people, and we've got to talk to a lot of interesting people, like I'm talking to you right now about it.
In 1937, when she was trying to find Howland Island, many stories came up as to what really, really happened. As I mentioned on the radio before, my wife and I used to live in the Marianas, and we always heard this story about the old Chamorro woman who said she saw this white woman and that was a prisoner of the Japanese and died in the camp there. What are some of the other stories about what happened to Amelia Earhart before we get to yours?
Well, Bob, they run the gamut. Everything that she was held hostage in Hirohito's basement in the palace in Tokyo, to she was washing dishes in a small diner in Long Beach.
Small diner in Long Beach. Tell us about where Howland Island is.
Well, Howland Island is in really about the remotest place in the world as you can get. It's at the equator, very near the international dateline. And it's not on any shipping lanes. It's completely out of the way. And we were down there for 9 days doing a preliminary search of the ocean bottom and mapping the ocean bottom just the last week. And in 9 days, we never saw another ship or another living thing.
Why Howland Island? I mean, why not farther down toward Samoa or somewhere like that, where at least there were more people?
They're just, as far as her flying there in 1937, there were no airports. Howland Island was the only airport within 1,000 miles.
So did they have to make special precautions to get a fuel stop there for her, or?
Yes, they shipped the fuel down with a Coast Guard cutter down to Howland Island several months ahead of time, and there were several drums of fuel sitting there at Howland Island. By the way, the people who lived on the island had a tractor left over from the making of the airport days, and they ran that fuel for years. That was their taxi and transportation on that island for many months after that.
I'll be darned. Now, let's get to your story. Now, what is the Elgin Long theory? What do you think really happened?
All right, Marie and I have been studying this out, and we've treated it as an aircraft accident. I'm a trained aircraft accident investigator, and as it happened, the things that were important about this loss or inability to find Allen Island happened to be in my areas of expertise. As you know, everything now, everybody is specialized in little areas, whether they work the flight recorders or whether they're bomb experts or structures. But hers involved navigation and communications and aircraft operations. And those happened to be the three areas of my expertise as an aircraft accident investigator.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we applied the same techniques that we would use to solve any aircraft accident and come to a most probable cause on hers. And after we gathered all the data, which, you know, sounds easy, but it took many, many years and much traveling all over the world
mm-hmm.
to gather the hard evidence and the logs and everything,
mm-hmm.
we finally came to a conclusion. And the conclusion was that her and her navigator, Fred Noonan, were unable to find the island because of some navigational errors
mm-hmm.
and were unable to establish direction finding with the Coast Guard there because of communication errors. And she ran out of fuel and had to ditch her airplane.
Now, was the Electra an airplane that was easily ditchable?
Yes, the Electra has. There's been 8 or 10 of them have been ditched over the history of their long life since 1935. And in every case, the airplane has stayed together, and most of the ditching has been fairly successful.
Was Amelia familiar with ditching procedures on an aircraft like that?
Well, only she'd never ditched an airplane before, and it's something you can't practice. You've got to do it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But she, in the manual, it told you to use full flaps and leave the gear up and to try and put the airplane in at as slow a speed as possible without stalling at first. But she would be very tired because you have to remember, by that time of the morning, she'd been flying for over 20 hours, and she'd been up for over 24,
mm-hmm.
and that's without any rest.
Well, now, you're a former airline pilot. What do you do when you ditch an aircraft, or how do they teach you? Do they say go in parallel with the waves, or how do you do that in a heavy sea like that in the middle of the ocean?
Bob, you sound very knowledgeable. Yes, that's exactly what you do, but you must remember in 1937, they really hadn't perfected any aircraft ditching techniques. Those techniques were mostly developed during and just shortly after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And when larger transport airplanes had multiple engine failures, we had one in the middle of the Pacific Ocean at Ocean Station November many years ago, which some of your older listeners may remember, where a Pan American Boeing 737 had to ditch near the Ocean Station out
mm-hmm.
there. But just like you said, you try and land, depending upon the wind conditions and the sea conditions, you pick a course that would give you the best chances to have the least impact on landing in the water. Water can be hard.
Now, how did you convince the people at Scripps in La Jolla to take you out there?
Well, actually, Scripps, as you know, Institution of Oceanography, does most of the scientific research work that's done in the Pacific. Any scientist who wants to study the ocean bottom, they have a lot of important work they're doing out there. And it took over 2 years before they could find the time where the vessel would be between scientific projects where it would have the opportunity to do this mapping for us. There's only just a very few of these vessels in the whole world that are capable of doing this thing. And we waited a couple of years until we found it in transit from Majuro in the Marshalls
mm-hmm.
to Suva in the Fiji Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to go past this area and do the mapping without interrupting any of their scientific work.
So you were about, what, within 50 miles of Howland Island?
We were actually at one time within 19 miles of it. And, you know, we were looking on the ship's radar, and we were looking as close because we all wanted to get a glimpse of if we could.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at 19 miles from it, I know what Amelia was up against. We didn't see any trace of it at all, except what we did see when we were in that area
mm-hmm.
were a lot of birds. And it is now a bird sanctuary.
Oh, I see. So
they're resting ground, yes.
Now, so the ship took several passes at the area, serving
yes.
well, 800 square miles, according to the article that I read. Now, what happened to this data? I mean, obviously, you did more than just look at the radar and look for a lump on the ocean bottom.
Yes, we did a lot more. Actually, the ship's technicians and the ship's scientists ran the data collection, and we sail back and forth over a direct path would mm-hmm. give us a complete map of the area when we're finished. We mapped nearly 1,000 square miles of completely unexplored territory. We had now generated to the knowledge of the world 1,000 square miles of the Earth's surface that we knew nothing about before.
Well, that's kind of a first anyway.
Yeah, it was exciting because we might find a mountain at any time. Maybe we'd find a Amelia Earhart rise there or something. Mm. But anyway, the data is gathered in a very complicated way by computers. The ship is really, the laboratory of the ship is just a mass of big computers. And this data is stored on magnetic drums. Billions of bits of information mm-hmm. stored on these drums. We have fed into the computer the global position system, satellite navigation, just data from every source, including the C-beam mapping system that the ship has installed in it.
Mm-hmm.
This data must be returned to the computer center at Scripps Institution of Oceanography in La Jolla, California,
mm-hmm.
and there it will be processed and refined. And after that, they will be able to draw final maps of the area that will be very true to the actual position and depths of the ocean bottom.
So you'll be able to see anomalies, I mean lumps or wrecked ships or possibly an airplane?
Well, we probably wouldn't be able to see any wrecked ships or an airplane because it has a resolution of about 600 feet
mm-hmm.
horizontally
mm-hmm.
and about 15 feet vertically. So the ocean floor will be accurate within 600 feet horizontally and within 15 feet vertically. But that would not be enough to be able to see a ship. You might be able to go back later and say, gee, that was probably it, but it won't show you anything that would tell you at the time. No, it's for mapping purposes only.
Right.
But what this will be done then will mm-hmm. be turned over to Scripps Institution of Oceanography's Deep Tow Department. That's their side scan sonar department.
Oh, yeah.
Their
the one that the guy who
in that field will study it and make a determination of how practical a search would be for a target the size of Amelia's Lockheed 10.
I see.
And they'll say it's practical, it's not practical, or it's very practical, or whatever scientists say. It's hard to get anything out of them, and they won't say a word until they get the final data.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is we did a map. The computer has a plotter there, and we did a real-time map, but it is not refined. It is not the final thing, but we can say this, that the map looked very good.
So nearly 52 years after this event took place, we're a lot closer than we ever have been to getting a good idea of what happened that day in July then.
Yes, we are, because now, if the search is an area that is practical, now we can mount a search for the airplane itself, and we can locate it and photograph it on the ocean floor.
Oh, that is fascinating.
Maybe eventually recover it.
What's the weather like at Howland Island? What's there today, Elton?
It's beautiful. The average temperature there is about 84 degrees almost year-round. There's balmy trade winds blowing out of the east at about 12 to 15 knots, and scattered cumulus clouds and stratocumulus clouds at about 1,500 feet. Just perfect idyllic weather.
Well, it's a good time anyway. Even if you didn't find anything specific, you had a nice time in the weather.
It'd be a great vacation spot for some of our Alaskan friends.
All right. Well, we'll be watching for news of the study now, and what will happen next is they'll go back and see if it's feasible to do a closer examination.
Yes, we're doing a symposium in March, Bob, and at La Jolla
mm-hmm.
for remote sensing. There'll be 2,000 people that are interested in remote sensing from all over the world meeting in La Jolla in March. And on the March 16th, I'm going to make a presentation of what we did. And hopefully, possibly, the scientists and Scripps will have the data refined by then. That's the sort of time frame we're looking at.
All right. One other question. I'll let you go. Would it be useful to use a satellite scan, an infrared scan, or something like that, where you could look below the ocean and get an idea of the terrain also?
Well, we use many other things besides side scan sonar in the search, magnetometers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, there hasn't been anything useful from a satellite that will penetrate the 5,200 to 5,300 meters of water that we have in the depth that Amelia's in.
All right. time. It's just fascinating. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Bob.
As Elgin Long from San Mateo has just returned from Howland Island, where it's 84 degrees all year long. And they're still looking for Amelia Earhart. The data is in the computer. Billions and billions of bits of it. It'll require a couple, 3 months, possibly, before the scientists will go ahead and see if they'll undertake another study. This is Bill Withers on KNBR 68.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's...
Okay, that completes the interview with KNBR. And now the following interview is done on February 13th at about 6:10 or 6:15 a.m. on February 13th, 1989, over radio station WJR, Clear Channel Station in Detroit, Michigan. And that's what will follow now.
9 out of the air here, and pilot night. It was fascinating.
Well, she's been it's the greatest mystery of the 20th century as far as aviation is concerned.
Gotta be.
It's exciting to work on it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I look forward to the interview here in just a minute.
Okay, Dennis.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for joining us this early in the morning, too.
It's pretty early out here, but that's all right. I'm doing some work anyway.
Good deal. Good deal. Talk to you in a bit. Hold on.
All right.
Thanks. Anything in particular you want to mention in this interview that I don't ask, which will probably be likely, please jump right in, okay?
All right, Dennis, will do.
Great, sir. Thanks. Barbara Streisand at 9:20 on a Monday morning, February 13th. I guess it's Valentine's Eve. This is Dennis Neubacher along with John McMurray, a whole host of hosts, I guess you could call it, this week. Tomorrow morning will be Bill Bonds and Robbie Timmons, Jerry Hodak, and Focus Today. Of course, Warren Pierce has guest hosts all this week as well. So lots of people to listen to this week. We hope you do. We'll be back with a very interesting interview about the whereabouts of Amelia Earhart's downed plane. Well,